Hello, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
Vanya got her hair did.
I did. You know, it's like I've always wanted to have a little blonde hair in my hair, in my black hair, and now I got a strip.
I like it.
Oh my God, you guys. I listened to Mike and Elisa's episode on our podcast, and it was great. It was so good. It was great to hear y'all back in the saddle.
Yeah, it was fun. I feel like, okay, I'm going to say this, and Elisa and I have had this conversation. I feel like the episode's actually almost like better than it deserves to be because we didn't really know it. We were just like, let's just talk and we'll just see what happens. And so it's kind of just like Elisa and I like BSing a little bit, but I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we had some fun there. All right. That was enjoyable. So I hope people enjoyed the little glimpse into Elisa and what Elisa and I do on a different podcast.
I especially loved the outtakes at the end, which cracked me up because it does show that you are, especially Elise, is like planning things to say. It's cute. It's really cute. And then she'll like try it a different way. I'm like, you know what? That's great. I love that. So I laughed very hard. No. It was a bright light in a somewhat, you know, murky week. But it was okay.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about your week?
Yeah, I could talk about my week. So I turned 43 on Thursday when our podcast came out last, whatever.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, I guess so. Ish.
2 weeks.
And on the same day, my grandma left the earth, which is, you know, pretty sad, actually. You know, I'm not upset. I just think it's fun to make people be like, oh God, on your birthday? So I had like to mention that. But yeah, she was 90, but she didn't seem like she was 90. And the actually really messed up thing, I almost said the F word, Mike, is that she did ultimately die of COVID, which...
Oh, wow.
It really sucks, yeah. So my grandma has been in and out of like, you know, PT, and because she falls. She's a tiny little lady. She was a tiny little lady under 5 foot and, you know, shrinking. And I don't know. I mean, I made jokes with my mom about her being like a toddler where their head's so heavy that they fall backwards or forward. You know, like she kind of just would randomly fall and lose her balance. You know, she had a walker. But this one, the most recent time she fell and yeah, just never made it out. Yeah, it was sad. And, you know, the crazy thing is my parents had earlier in the month were planning to come for both of my kids' birthdays because they're like very close, a couple days apart, and they were going to be there. They had to cancel because she had fallen, so that was like awful and scary, and so they couldn't do that. And then they were going to come for my birthday, and then they ended up canceling because it wasn't looking good. And I'm glad that they canceled, so my mom was able to be there when she, you know, died, when her spirit was no longer with us. So, and then, you know, actually on a happy note, my parents did come to visit. So I had time with my parents last week. But yes, it was sad. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I always thought you always think when you hear people you don't know well, oh, well, they had a nice long life, you know. But it's still pretty sad, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any... I think we've had this conversation before, you know, having to do with celebrities or people that aren't related to us, where it's there is, on one hand, hard to be like, oh, that poor 90-something-year-old. Like, no, like, they didn't...
Yeah.
But, of course, that's a person that was there that isn't anymore. And one could wax, you know, philosophically and be like, no, they're still there. But like, no, they're not. I mean, they are. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you believe, whatever you believe, and whether you believe like death is just a transition and all of that. But like, you still can't touch that person. You know,
I know.
I just finished, and this is not necessarily a recommendation. I was saying to some friends, like, I finished 9 Perfect Strangers. It was a Hulu series, and it's a great cast. I was saying it wasn't an altogether pleasant experience watching it. Like, it's kind of a difficult journey that I'm glad that I went on. But a lot of it concerns loss and concerns the people that we just want to like be able to hug, or the people that we want to be able to touch. And so I think that no matter how long one lives, there's still, you know, you can't touch them anymore. You can't hug them anymore. So there's always going to be a sadness there. How are your sorry, this is such a, I feel weird that I have to ask this, but it was your mom's mom.
Yeah, it was my mom's mom. My dad's dad had passed.
I was pretty sure.
A long time ago. Yeah. You know, my dad's mom. My dad's mom was actually in the Armenian genocide. She survived a genocide, which is like back in the teens, 20s or whatever, late teens of the 1900s. Anyway, so she was pretty old, and she actually kind of, this was always a fun fact, she started having kids a little bit later, and like, I think she had her last baby in her 40s, and we're talking in Syria, you know?
Yeah.
So I was never worried about having kids later in life. I'm like, I have a grandma who, you know, did it. Anyways, yes, no, it's my mom's mom, and my mom is doing okay. You know, I think
that was my question.
Yeah, I think it's that combination of like mourning the loss, the memories that you have all your life, and then, you know, as she approached the end of her life, she became a lot sort of to, my mom was the one who lived in the same town where she lived. So she was, you know, all of the sisters took care of my grandma, but my mom had this extra pressure that she put on herself. So I think there's a bit of a relief, tiny bit as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably get it more into this later on, but yeah, my mom had a similar situation. She was sort of the primary caretaker of her father in his last few years. So
yeah,
it's complicated.
It is.
Absolutely. You know, I can't help but think about, and I guess this will maybe segue into what's happened, what I've been doing for the last week or so.
Yeah, tell me.
Is that, you know, you were supposed to be in New York. You're supposed to be in New York the day after your birthday. And I can't help but think like, and I was really so sad when I understood your decision, but was so sad when you made the choice that you couldn't take another week off.
Yeah, like, that was, you know, a while ago I made the decision. Yeah.
It was a while ago. We didn't talk about it on here, but I had been really, really sad about it but totally understood, but not thinking about it. I remember as this was sort of unfolding, being like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you had made the choice to not come to New York. Because like, think of how many other things would have not been in place. Oh my goodness. Like,
I would have been exactly. My parents were going to watch the kids.
Right.
And my husband was in Atlanta last week too. So
No,
it's funny how things work out. Cause I did know deep in my heart, I wanted to come to New York so badly, but there were a lot of factors that I was just like, I just can't. And I'm so glad I didn't, because it would have been,
a disaster.
I would have been like, we're buying extra tickets for the kids. We're all coming to the show. You got it? I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But you got to go to a premiere this week.
I did. So now I feel almost bad because now I'm going to
Don't. I want to hear about it. I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled for you and I'm thrilled for Annabelle. And I'm just absolutely thrilled. And I really have faith that I'm going to get to come and see it. So
100%. 100% it will happen. One of the reasons why you were going to be coming to New York, for those that are listening.
Yeah.
So, you know, a year and a half ago or so, one of my dear friends, Annabelle, is an assistant company manager for the Broadway musical Six. And I don't know if we've talked about this on here before, but I still have my ticket for, I think it was like March 13th or whatever day it was that Broadway officially shut down. I think it was maybe March 12th. And like, I have my ticket to the show and I have my ticket to the after party that was supposed to be at Tao downtown.
Wow.
And literally it was hours before they were supposed to have their Broadway debut that all the theaters got shut down because you couldn't have more than X amount of people. Yeah, it was a real bummer. So it's been a year and a half, waiting for this, but they officially had their Broadway opening last Sunday and I got to go, and it was everything's a little bit more complicated right now. There was this whole thing where it all ended up fine. It was stressful as I was getting ready for it, because there's this new app that you had to get, and then you had to get either the test. Oh gosh, I feel like this is when I should have written it down. What is it called? Like the PCR test? PRC?
Yeah, PCR.
PCR, there PCR. You go. You had to either get that test no less than 72 hours before the show, or a rapid test no less than 24 hours before the show. But of course, my brain is like, you got to do the 72, because like, what if something happens in that 24? But I couldn't. It all ended up fine. But you had to like go to the clinic and like get it done. And they're like, well, it could take 72 hours to get the result because there are so many tests happening right now. It came back in like 28 hours and I got the email. And it all worked out fine. So you had the premiere that you had to go, and you had to show your vax card and your ID and this app. And And I, of course, I ended up feeling, I was like, just got into the theater as quickly as I could because I was certain that I was going to do something wrong and I was going to like shut the whole thing down. So like, I ran in and I got in, and then I'm getting all of these texts from people that I'm going to the show with, including my friend Annabelle, like, where are you? Like, we're all outside taking pictures. And I was like, I'm freaked out, and I just ran into the theater. So we'll take pictures later.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so I got to go to this really fun Broadway opening, and you know, spoiler alert, I'm going to get more into this show a little bit later in a different segment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so much fun being there in this Broadway theater. And it wasn't the first Broadway thing I'd seen back. I think I said this before, that I'd seen a play, but it was such a different experience being in, like, it's not huge as in like it's not a huge cast, but like the sound is big, and it's like,
yes,
dance numbers and music and so much fun, and the audience was like just crazy. Like every single number got like a 2 minute applause break at the end.
I mean, I can imagine.
It was just because like everyone was, oh, it was so much fun and just so exciting to be there. And then afterwards we got to go to this party. It wasn't at Tao anymore. It was at, because I feel like that was that, because Tao was very like downstairs and like in a very enclosed room, which I think would have felt weird in this day and age.
Sure.
So it was at Chelsea Piers, and I'd never been to this particular location, but it's this big like party venue, and it has an outdoor space, and you're right on the river, and
pretty.
It was really, really fun, and it was just so much fun to like be at this like New York event, and like they still, it was kind of weird, like they still wanted you to have your mask on unless you were eating or drinking, so I just ate and drank a lot. But it was just fun. Like it was super exciting to like be at this very New York feeling event with lots of people, and you know, I'd actually had also seen Waitress the night before with Sarah Bareilles is
oh,
in that right
wonderful.
Now and yeah, and I saw her when she did it before because I'm a huge fan of hers, but it was fun to see her again, and just everything feels different now. Like everything feels so much more precious, and I mean that in like the most positive sense of the word, of just
right,
like being in this space. And I got to go see Hadestown again, which you were supposed to see with me, but we will see it when you come and visit.
Yeah.
And we will get slightly better tickets. I will say that I had bought these tickets and they were fine. Like it was fun just to be in the room, but it's at the Walter Kerr.
Uh-huh.
And I'm convinced that the balcony at this theater was an afterthought. They were like, we can put like 20 more seats if we just attach them to the ceiling. Because you're so high up and you're kind of like looking down, but also you can't see the front like foot and a half of the stage.
Oh.
And I was saying to my friend Jesse that went with me, I was like, oh, I mean, you know, it's just the front part of the stage. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Everything happens on the first foot of the stage. Like,
well, I'm glad I missed it. I'm glad I didn't go.
It was still fine because like you could see, you could kind of, but I was like, oh, sorry, these aren't the best seats. But I love Hadestown. And so I had a blast seeing it again anyway. So yeah, it's been a week of theater. I will say, I'll update
fun.
This. I had a ticket for a matinee tomorrow, and I just got an email saying that the performance has been canceled, but I can't verify that anywhere, so I don't know. Anyway, that's all. It was a weird thing to like literally just happen that I was like, I was looking forward to seeing this show tomorrow, and
weird.
Now it's saying that it's canceled, but the tickets are still on sale, so I'll update that one next week.
They're like, Mike, we don't want you to come.
Well, see, can I tell you my conspiracy theory? Is that,
tell me,
it just opened on Monday and it got like a rave in the Times, and I had a discount ticket, and I feel like they're trying to like steal my discount ticket back. There is absolutely no evidence to back up what I have just said. But that's where my conspiracy theory brain went. I'm like, you can't take my cheap ticket back. I bought a cheap ticket and you have
that.
To let me come see the show. Anyways, we'll see what happens there.
I'll be waiting with bated breath. I cannot wait.
I feel like there's so much more to talk about, but I guess we should kind of move on. I don't know. It's been a weird
Let's
week. Are you
get it.
Anything you're particularly digging this week in this week of kind of murkiness?
It's weird. Well, so I've been working on the Rom Crime podcast because,
yeah,
you know, we did take off last week as well. So I just want to thank y'all who are listening here, and you guys got a treat because, you know, Mike put forth him and Elise's most recent episode. But for the Rom Crime people, we just skipped a week. So I've been like fervently, you know, working on that. And so we came up with a plan for October, which I'm totally sad that I missed a week, but I'm just going to bleed into November. We came up with a plan of doing Halloween type inspired or like spooky inspired rom-coms. And Mike, I think I specifically love that genre. I love it so much. We just covered Practical Magic, which is such a fun movie. Did you watch that before? Had you seen it?
I saw it in the theater. I saw it whenever it came out, yeah.
Oh, Mike, I can't wait for you to listen to tell me what you think.
I'm excited.
I'm really excited for you to, okay, because I put some clips in there in commentary and like whatever, but I'm just going to quickly run down the list of some of the things that I'm about to watch, and I'm so goddamn excited. So next we're doing Little Shop of Horrors. So fun.
Great. I love that movie.
I know.
And that show.
One of my favorite movies, and this is like my favorite horror movie, but I'm like putting that in quotes because I'm such a weenie. This is the kind of horror movie I like, but Shaun of the Dead, which is totally a rom-com because, you know, there's love in it. I love that movie. Hello Again, which I haven't seen since I was a child with Shelley Long. Mm-hmm. Did you see that one?
Yes, I've definitely seen. I'm sure I've seen that.
Well, I'm going to watch it and recap it for you so you'll get.
Okay.
There's also Warm Bodies, which is a good one. Witches of Eastwick, which I don't know if it's really a rom-com because they kind of just like kill the devil in the end. Spoiler alert. But like, I love that movie and they're so gorgeous. Yeah. Even Edward Scissorhands, which maybe some people would say that's a Christmas movie, but whatever. It's kind of creepy. The Mummy, Death Becomes Her, Bewitched, Ghost Town, Freaky Friday, Jennifer's Body. I'm just excited, Mike. It was like the one that it was, you know what it was? I think this is what it was. I had such a rough, very heavy, gut, sad week before that when I got to go into fantasy, It was just radical for me. It was great. And so that's what I'm digging. I'm digging old rom-coms that have, a spooky element. I don't know. I'm into it.
I have the weirdest memory, and why do I feel like it was with you? But
could be.
I'm maybe making all of this up, that I feel like I went to see Shaun of the Dead.
I'm sure of it.
And then like realized that it was like the wrong movie was playing as it was starting.
Oh, funny.
And it was something that I'd already seen. I was like, wait, this is not Shaun of the Dead. And like, I can't remember if like they'd started the wrong film or if I'd gone to the wrong theater. It's a very, very strange. I've never seen Shaun of the Dead. I meant to see it at one point and then I never have. So that's one that I should definitely check out.
I think you should. I'm not sure if you would love it, but I certainly love it. But I also saw it at a formative time in my life when I was, you know, sort of going from my teens to my 20s or whenever it came out. And I also love Simon Pegg, so.
I was going to say that Simon Pegg, right?
Good. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right.
And he wrote it. So what about you? What are you digging?
So I'm a little all over the place. It would feel weird to not talk about the fact that Madonna's Madame X came out on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to watch that yet?
I watched like 5 minutes and I was like, you know what? I can't do this right now. I'm just not there mentally.
Yeah.
I need to be in a place where I'm like ready to listen. And I was just like, oh, okay, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's tough because it
couldn't do it.
It's such a different feeling than having been there live. Like, I do think that the best concert films capture the feeling of being in the room, and I think it was hard to do that with this one.
Mm.
And so she kind of tries to do it with like tricks and editing, and I didn't love a lot of the tricks and the editing that she did. It's also that show that. Yeah, like the first two numbers are brand new songs that no one's heard before because no one except for me listened to that album.
Yeah.
So I think that it's hard for those that are just sort of like stumbling into it to like get through those first two numbers because then it does get into more familiar territory. I'll tell you, like, even like Vogue is maybe song 4 or 5, but it's kind of a weird version that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
The show almost doesn't get started until like 40 minutes into it with, Believe It or Not, American Life. She does that song that no one liked when it came out, but somehow plays live so well. It's such a great live number. And so it's tough. I mean, I would encourage you at some point to try to watch. It's weird to say try to watch it.
I definitely will. I just wasn't in the mood. And maybe it was because I didn't know the first two songs.
Yeah, it's a very specific journey. Yeah, so I would encourage one to watch it, but I totally get that it's not. It's a tough one, which is weird to say about a Madonna concert.
I know,
But yeah. So what I will say about Madonna, I want to say like at least a year ago, probably longer than that, probably like 2 years ago, our friend Eric had suggested a podcast to me to listen to, and I just had never gotten around to it. And I finally listened to it like a week ago. Oh my gosh, Vanya, it's so good.
Oh.
Write this down, download it,
okay.
Listen to it. It's a little over an hour, so it takes some time, but it's the podcast is called Hit Parade.
Okay.
And the episode specifically is called Madonna, the Veronica Electronica Edition.
Ooh.
It is fascinating. It is specifically about the Ray of Light album and sort of like what went into making that and kind of about like why it shouldn't have worked. Like why Madonna, she was like turning 40 and then making this electronic album, and people had never really been able to make electronic work in the mainstream. Right. Like so much was going against her. Like she was coming off of like what people would call the failure of Erotica, though I think that's one of her greatest albums that she's ever done. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a incredibly underrated album. It's such a good collection of music. And then she'd sort of segued into like adult contemporary, like her big songs after that had been like Take a Bow and This Used to Be My Playground, mm-hmm. and I'll Remember, all great songs, and like Rain, but like much more like ballady. So for her to sort of like swerve into this electronic dance music territory shouldn't have worked. And I think that most people agree that Ray of Light is maybe her absolute best album.
I bet,
you know, arguably, but it's more than that. It just examines her career up till that point. It gets into it a bit after. It examines like her place in music. I think especially for people that maybe are maybe a little bit younger and don't really get like Madonna, like it's such a fascinating look at what she did, what her career did for other artists. It's a really like, I cannot recommend it enough. I thought it was
cool.
Honestly, like Madonna's writing and directing a movie about herself and I have worries about it a little bit, but I'm like, this should just be it. Like just make this into a visual documentary because it's fascinating. So Hit Parade, Madonna, the Veronica Electronica Edition. So good.
It's a great title.
Yeah, it's a great title. I have to also just bring it back because Six the musical. I loved it so much. I had so much fun. I guess it's not for everyone. I was with someone who wasn't a huge fan of it.
Oh, really?
It's not your typical musical. Like it's not like a huge book musical. It's these... For those that don't know, it's based on the six wives of Henry VIII, where they are kind of like a girl group, and they have like this flashy opening number. And I will say this, I don't mean this at all in a negative way, but I'd heard the opening number before and thought it was fine. So I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if I'm really going to be into this. I loved it. And I thought every song after, like, I just thoroughly enjoyed the journey. The six women that are in it are so talented. It's like mind-blowing. I will say I got to see it a second time last week. Like very like last minute ticket came available and I got to see an understudy, and even she, I feel like I should say her name, Courtney Mack, even she, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing this, I don't know if it's her first time on a Broadway stage like doing this role, but like, oh my gosh, it was so good. Just so much fun. So, and I know that it's touring a lot. I know that it's playing in London. So I don't know what the experience is different as far as seeing it on Broadway, but it was such an experience.
Yeah.
And just to take a moment to give a shout out to our friend Annabelle, who I'm just so proud of. Like,
yay.
She's making a living on Broadway. And I think that that's amazing. Like,
yes.
I just think that it's absolutely fantastic.
You
so
go, girl.
So there you go. That's my diggin'.
Woo!
That's my diggin'.
I love that.
Anything in particular that you could do without...
Yeah, my grandma not dying. Thanks, Mike. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm totally just kidding. I mean, obviously, I could have done without that. But, you know, no, I actually have something. And I can't help but always bring it back to my kids. Sorry, guys. So here's what we got. Here's what we got this week. And it happened last night. You know what I could do without? I could do without my husband letting our kids right before bed, Mike. Watch something scary.
Oh, no.
They were watching... He doesn't... I love you, Adam. But he doesn't pay attention. He just doesn't pay attention. And they were watching something, and he swears to me it was rated G, but I haven't looked yet. There's no way this was rated G. And it's this mummy in, like... It was probably CGI, but like news. It was creepy as shit. And I go, I came downstairs. I was like, and the kids were terrified. He's on his phone in between them. They're like next to him, like clutching him. Has no idea what's happening. I'm pretty sure he was drafting NHL for his fantasy league. Sorry, I'm not talking too much shit, but you know, I love you. I love all the complexity that is my husband. But he's sitting there on his like phone doing his thing, and I know it's very important. And the kids look terrified, and I look at the screen, and there's this like, it's all dark, creepy mummy that's like slowly. I mean, it was like a horror. It was like an adult horror movie to watch. I go, what the hell are we watching? And Adam was like, Disney. I was like, okay, so turn it off. And we turn it off. So that's not even what I could do without. I mean, that starts there. What I could do without is both of them not being able to go to sleep, freaked out and scared, couldn't stop thinking about it. I mean, I even like was like, that was scary. Like that scared me and a woman who just turned 43 years old. I like to mention it because I'm proud of my age. It's just a number and I have a lot of energy. Whatever. Anyways, point is, my God, why? And yeah, they both slept with us last night. You know, eventually each one of them crawled in, and it is scary when they're, I don't know if this happens to anybody else with kids, but like I posted something about it, but like you'll just be sleeping and all of a sudden you feel like something watching you and you open your eyes and your little son is like staring at you and you're like, oh God, you okay, buddy? I'm scared. There's mommies in my womb. And I'm like, ah, climb in, bud.
Oh, God.
That's what it is. That's what I could do without, Mike.
That's pretty good.
How about you?
Mine is sort of a do without, but like a sort of shrug as I talk about this particular topic. You know, I made the decision a few years ago to get rid of all of my physical CDs. And by all, I mean like 99%. Like there are a lot of, I'm very happy that a lot of like random collectibles that I own, I still have. But I got rid of most of my music. And I was just looking on my, and I don't subscribe to anything. That's the other thing, is that I get that like if one is an Apple Music subscriber or that kind of thing, I don't subscribe to any of that. Yeah, I buy CDs, or I used to buy CDs. I have fully made the transition to now buying whatever the current technology is through Apple Music. But I sort of like stumbled upon, you know, it was Tori Amos. I stumbled upon my collection of Tori Amos on my computer, and the amount of her that I don't own anymore, apparently, through going from computer to computer to computer.
Oh.
Like, it's such a bummer where I'm like, I want to listen to Little Earthquakes and I don't own Little Earthquakes anymore. Like, that's such a bummer to me. And it's fine. I sort of, I try to in my brain equate it to like, you used to wear out a tape and maybe you would scratch a record or a CD. Like, you do have to update music from time to time. So
yeah, I guess so.
It's fine. And I actually made a point of updating all of my Madonna. So anything that I didn't have, I was sort of slowly buying, which was kind of easier because, I mean, this is so like a Mike Jensen mindset, because like I'm the person, and you know, we used to go to like Tower or whatever, and you would like, yes, go through and be like, oh, this CD's on sale for $5. Sure, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And Apple does that where it's like, awesome, 80s for $6.99. And so I've sort of little by little collected a lot of old stuff. I just, guess what's on sale on Apple right now,
what?
For $4.99. Grease 2, what?
Shut up.
So I did just buy Grease 2 for, I like that we're mentioning, yeah, Ben Cherry, we're mentioning Grease 2 again. Deal with
that's
it.
That's right, Ben Cherry. I love Grease 2 and I'll fight you. I'll fight you for it.
So there you go. So anyways, that's kind of it. I was just like, so much music that I used to own that I don't anymore, and I'm sort of slowly getting it back, but that's all. That's my do without. So there you go. So I thought for our topic, and we can get as deep or as light as you want to do, but I wanted to talk about grandparents.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have you, so what was your relationship with, I guess theoretically one usually has four of them.
Yes. So my grandparents on my father's side, my grandfather passed away when my dad was 17. So like, mm-hmm, I never met him, but my grandmother on that side was the sweetest Armenian little tiny lady. She came and lived with us a couple times, but would always go back to her home in Syria where she lived. And she was just a saint. I don't know. I was so young when I knew her, and I felt, I didn't know anything negative about her. She, to me, was like Mother Teresa. She even kind of looked like Mother Teresa. She was a beautiful soul and just warm. She would feed you. She was a seamstress. So that's my, like, I have this like sort of not necessarily realistic idea of what that grandma was.
Yeah.
My grandparents on the other side were, they lived a couple hours away, so they were in our lives a lot more. And I have a lot of opinions and feelings, you know, it's, they were both loving grandparents in their own ways, but you know, not the warmest, to be honest with you. It's kind of interesting. You know, my grandfather was, you know, he had gone to and fought in the Korean War and was one of those people who probably drank a little bit too, not probably, he definitely drank a little bit too much, smoked cigarettes. I mean, my thought of my grandpa is he played music, he was a guitarist and he was a painter and he worked in a flour mill and he would work hard all day and provide for his fam and come home and just drink, kind of, you know, drink beer until he went to sleep and smoke a pack of cigarettes. But he was a sweet guy. He was just like kind of quiet in the corner most of the time. Now, my grandma was the oldest of 14 kids, Mike.
Oh my gosh, that is insane.
Yeah, because, and I remember talking to you a little bit when she was alive, and I was like, why? I never understood why she's so mad all the time. Like, my grandma, tiny woman, under 5 feet, red, fiery red hair, you know, people who knew her loved her, people who weren't her family, and people who were her family, everybody loved her, but she was a mother effing boss. She dropped out of high school because she had epilepsy, and at the time, they didn't really know what to do. She didn't get any medicine for it until her husband went to, you know, became a veteran, and then they had like benefits. So she quit school because that might be why she was mad too, because she didn't get to have any education. And, you know, but she ran her house. She had three kids, three girls. And always the thing about my grandma growing up, and even before I was born, is that they were always helping someone. Like, she had, it was almost like she had her own halfway house a little bit. I hate, you know, I don't want to be, but even as fiercely as she was such a protector, and she bought clothes for like all of her nephew. I mean, it was, she just, and they didn't have much money. So anyways, this image of my grandma is very like, I don't remember her like being a jokester. You know, she wasn't really a jokester. She was like, she meant business most of the time. She was religious. Loved Jesus so much, and just kind of an intense woman. And she was one of those people where, you know, she says messed up stuff to you, but it's like that generation tried to raise you on fear or in shame a little bit. But in the end, throughout, I love my grandma. I've talked to her on the phone every once in a while since I left for college, you know. And she's always interested. She became a little more soft as she got older. But yeah, my experience with them is, I don't think a typical, like my kids are going to have a way different experience with their grandparents. They're like, my grandparents or my parents and my husband's parents are so like warm to my kids. Mm-hmm. And like they have a friendship. But my grandma was more like, you know, you didn't mess with her. I definitely got spanked by my grandma. You know what I mean? Which most people don't. Like, I don't even spank my kids. But yeah. But I'm happy that I had that experience because I'm stronger because of some of the things that I went through with her. And honestly, I remember getting kind of annoyed at some Christmases that there'd be some random people at our house. And I didn't get my grandma all to myself or my grandparents all to myself. But the truth is they were just like, I mean, she paid for some woman to fly away from an abusive husband, and I don't know how many times she's done that.
Wow.
You know, my grandma was a fierce, loving bitch.
I like it.
And I have a little bit of that in me. Like, I definitely am. I'm not, I mean, I feel like I'm loving, I'm fierce, and I'm a bitch. So yes, I have exactly all of that in me. But I think that I do work without shame as much as that generation did. I hopefully am a little more evolved.
Yeah.
That's not a specific moment. I was actually really prepared to tell you this story about me traveling with my grandma and grandpa from Washington State to New Mexico by myself with them. And it was a totally wonderful experience. But yeah, instead I'm telling you about complicated dynamics in family.
No, I like that. I think that people have such different relationships with different grandparents. And like, I know that I even have a different relationship with my grandparents than, say, my siblings had, you know, for one thing, being the youngest.
Oh, right.
Like, I just got them at different places. You know, my mom's parents lived in our hometown, so I saw them frequently. Like, I would stay at their house on weekends a lot of the time. And from time to time, like, there were moments that I had cousins that lived in the same city as well when I was very young, and then some of them moved away, and then they moved back in my teenage years. So, you know, we would spend a lot of time with them. And, you know, my mom's parents, so my mother's mother is a direct descendant from like the founders of the Mormon church.
Whoa.
Like my mom's mom's last name, maiden name was Pratt, which is, if in the Mormon church, is kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So very religious on that side. You know, I feel like my grandpa on my mom's side sort of did the religion thing for her. Like, I don't, not to say that he didn't like it, but I think it was more just that, like, he wanted to, like, he told the story of the first time that he saw her when I think that she was working at a movie theater, and he said, I'm going to marry that woman. And they were like 18 years old, and it happened. And I think that the other thing, so that's sort of on that side. And like, they both, my mom's mom passed away really, really suddenly. And it was just after Christmas, and I had seen her that Christmas, and my mom used to do her mother's hair. Like, she would, like, color it and sort of, like, style it. And it was sort of a random thing that my grandma had said to my mom, like, I'd like to pay you. I've never given you anything for this. And my mom was like, don't pay me, Mom. Like you're my mom. Like, I just do this for you.
Right.
And she's like, well, what if I give... Maybe I can give Mike some cash. This was a while ago, and I was living in New York, but, like, very poor.
Oh.
And I was like, sure, I'll take some cash.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird... I wish that I had the details better, but my journey back to New York was very fraught. Like, I ended up, like, missing a train from... Like, I wasn't flying back into New York proper. Like, I had to take a train from somewhere else. And, like, I did, like, my debit card had no money. Like, literally, she, like, saved me. Like, this money that she had, wow, had randomly given to me, like, it got me back to my home. And then she passed away shortly after that, really, really suddenly. And it was very, you know, my grandpa had been sick for a while. So I remember getting the call thinking, like, oh, I think grandpa probably passed away. And it wasn't. It was that grandma had. And then my mom took care of her father for the next 2 years, for the last 2 years of his life. And it was interesting you talking about your mom being there when her mother's spirit left, that my mom was there for her dad and has the memory of her father saying to her, like, what's happening? Something's happening. And my mom saying, I think you're dying, Dad. I think you're dying. And it sounds like a terrible moment, but it was really a precious moment for her to, like, be there.
Absolutely.
And by his side. And then my grandparents on my dad's side lived in Bellingham. They lived where you went to college. So it's like a six hour drive. So we'd probably see them once a year. We would drive up and stay in Bellingham for a week. And, you know, I feel like I didn't even know for the first many years of my life that the person that I knew as my dad's dad was not his biological father, that my grandma had gotten a divorce and had remarried. And so this was my dad's stepfather, but I think he always sort of treated him like a father. And my dad's biological father was still alive, but I only met him a couple of times, like a handful of times.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a weird situation. But I didn't really know any different. And this was the grandma who made me Norske Pandekakas, which is, you know.
Oh, my God. They're so good. Mike made them for me when I was like 19,
yeah.
18. I don't even know how old they were. So
we used to love our Norske Pandekakas. So I'm wondering, I'm going to find out if you can make them gluten free. Yeah, they're the best.
There's got to be a way.
You know, and I know that my siblings had a different relationship, as in I think that my grandma wasn't very nice to one of my sisters. Like, I think that there was a little bit more of a, what you were saying, that sort of like how a different generation was like, oh,
yeah,
someone's put on a little weight kind of thing.
Oh, she,
like,
my
oh,
grandma said
know.
That all the time.
Yeah.
My grandma told me my wedding dress didn't fit properly as I was walking out the door to the church.
Jesus.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, it looks all wrong. I was like, that's not something you say to someone who's walking out, like, literally to go get married, walking out the door.
Yeah.
But I love her. God love her.
Yeah. And I, you know, so I, my mom would hate that I'm telling this story, but she doesn't know how to listen to a podcast, so she'll never know. But I always think of a time, it was many years ago, that I was talking to my mom because, you know, all of my grandparents had passed away except for my, and this was after my dad's funeral, because the last time I saw both of my father's biological parents were at two separate funerals, because that's how much they could not be in the same room together, that we had one funeral in my hometown.
Really?
for Grandma Jensen to come to, and then we had another funeral in Bellingham for my dad's dad to go to. And
whoa,
yeah, it was a whole thing. So that was the last time that I saw both of them. And I remember a few years after that talking to my mom and saying, like, crazy is the wrong word, but like that, like, my last grandparent alive is like, is Grandma Jensen, who, you know, and my mom was like, oh, I meant to call you. So anyways, that's how I found out that my Grandma Jensen had passed away.
No. Oh, that's so sad. I'm sorry, Mike.
To be fair, like, there hadn't really been like a service, like they were waiting to do something later on. And so it was all fine. But I remember being like, oh, I guess I have no grandparents left.
Yeah,
so
I have no grandparents left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny, the different dynamics that we have, because the last thing that I want to say, and I don't mean this to come across as negative, and I have such fond memories of my grandparents, but my grandparents were the only people in my family that I never came out to.
Oh.
Like, they were the only people that I never said I'm gay, or I don't think anyone ever said to them that I was gay. And whether or not they knew it and just we didn't talk about it, like, there was that, relief is the wrong word, but there was a weird feeling of like, there's no one left that doesn't know.
Right.
I don't know. It's a strange addition to the dynamic of my grandparents with me. So
yeah.
I love them and I do miss them and I have great memories, and it's interesting the complications there though.
Huh. That's interesting.
Kind of a weird note to end on.
I like it though. I mean, I have to say one more thing just because this is what I used to talk about in my stand up, but my grandma was so religious that and I'm not like doing a bit. I'm literally just, I just have to end with this. By the way, she would play with us outside all the time. Like, she had gardens. She was one of those people, she did, like, she never smiled about it, but she made snowman with us. Like, she, you know, she got out there with us. But what I want to say is they're really religious, so religious, in fact, that nobody got ears pierced, really. And I got my ears pierced because I wanted my ears pierced when I was like 13. And she goes, you know, Vanya, whores wear earrings. And I was like, I'm sorry, what, grandma? What's a whore? God love her. Sorry, I just wanted to.
No, that's really good. That was a good button for our grandparent conversation. Do you have anything random for us this week to end on?
I do, because I'm looking for hacks and I don't know if I'm going to actually use it, but I found this hack for to help kids not be scared when they go to sleep. And it's called Monster Spray. And you make it, you pick out a spray bottle, you fill it with water and essential oils, and then you spray it in the corner, you shake it, and you spray it in the corners and the closets and under the bed. And you're supposed to chant like, monster, monster, stay away. And yeah, you got to shake it before each use because it makes the magic stronger. But the thing is, I could try that, but then I have to admit that monsters are real.
Yeah, that's a quandary.
That's where I'm like, I mean, mummies are real, but they're not really going to come and kill you in your sleep or whatever it is you're afraid of. So I don't know if anybody has any other hacks, but that's the hack, the monster spray hack I just read. And how about you? Any random facts?
I do. I have two. And one is because it just happened. And that is, and I wasn't sure when to bring this up because we were talking about scary movies. So I know that you are not going to care about this. But the trailer for the new Scream movie just came out. And I love the Scream movies.
I love Scream.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure how you felt about that particular series.
Great. I feel great about that.
I love them so much. And so there's a fifth one coming out. It's strangely just called Scream. We're not putting the five in there, apparently. But like Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox and David Arquette are all back. And, you know, it's that thing where, like, how many times do we put these characters through this? But I don't care. I'm so excited and I can't wait for it. Yeah, so I'm super excited for Scream 5. My other fact is this is like the most random fact that will not be helpful to anyone probably, but I'm continuing to watch The Morning Show, and I had noticed at the beginning it's like, stay tuned afterwards for a look inside the series, and I'm on like episode 4 of the new thing, and I'm like, why have I never seen
inside
right? And it's because you literally have to watch like the credits for the people that voiced this in Germany and the credits for the people that voiced this in Portugal. And then you have to watch like all of the random credits before you get to, which is fine. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but it was just that fun. So if you're watching The Morning Show and you're wondering why you're not seeing the behind the scenes, it's because you have to really literally watch all of the random credits. So there you go.
Good to know.
It's a little Apple TV Plus hack. I have really missed you.
I've missed you.
I'm so happy to be back talking with you. And it's funny how I'm so sad that you weren't here for that week. And I'm so glad that you weren't here for that week. I'm so glad that that you knew.
I know.
You knew. You were like, I need to not go. And for whatever reason that is, like, it all
was
for the
Mike.
Best. You're a witch.
I'm a witch with whore earrings. I love you, Mike Jensen. I do.
I love you
Thank
too.
You. It's so good to talk to you. And every week it makes me feel better. And yeah, I definitely felt a little bit of a hole not being able to chat with you. So
yeah, but here we are. We're back.
We're back.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
I love you.
I love you too.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening.
Bye.
And we'll talk to you later. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
I did. You know, it's like I've always wanted to have a little blonde hair in my hair, in my black hair, and now I got a strip.
I like it.
Sorry, I have to turn off my all my notifications on my computer. They're just beeping away. Apologies. That was rude.
Just everything's beeping
at
you.
It's like a little computer fart. Bing.